I speak in the name of God, and may we all be listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you like to be seated? Well, I wonder what you're like when people aren't listening to you. You think of a time recently when you were trying to tell somebody something, and maybe they were watching the TV, or maybe they were doing something on their phone, and you could tell that they weren't tuned in, they weren't listening to what you had to say. You think of a time recently when that happened? Maybe this morning? Or yesterday? What did you do? Did you shout? Did anybody shout at them to get their attention? Anybody grab hold of them? Anybody unplug the TV and throw the phone in the sink? Did anybody actually, when that happened, just give up? Yeah, lots of us gave up. When someone's not listening, it's very tempting just to think, okay, in that case, I won't bother. I'll just go quiet. And, they'll have to get on without that important bit of information I was about to give them. In both our Bible readings, that was what was going on. The first one, the Old Testament, Ezekiel, he was warned. God said to Ezekiel, "The people I'm sending to you are obstinate and stubborn. Say to them, this is what the Lord says, whether they listen or fail to listen. You tell them." And then in our second reading, the gospel reading, Jesus went to Nazareth, his own hometown, and his old neighbors heard what he said, but they didn't listen. They didn't receive his message with faith. So what do you do when that happens? What do you do, what should you do when someone won't listen to the message about God's love for them? Do you go quiet? Think, well, in that case, I won't bother. Jesus once told a famous story of the sower and the seed. Some of you know how it goes. The sower went out to sow, and he threw the seed, and some fell on the path. No good. That seed was snatched away as bird food. Some of it fell on rocky ground. No good. It was burnt up by the sun. There was no soil for it actually to take root. Some of it fell on thorny, weedy ground. No good. It looked okay. Maybe those seeds would have a chance, but actually very quickly they were choked by the weeds. No good. No good. No good. Nobody's listening. It's a waste of time. But, Jesus said, some of the seed fell on good soil. And there it bore fruit 30, 60, 100 times as many seeds from that one seed as a result. And you know the story. You've heard it probably many times, no matter what age you are. You know that story really well. Let me ask you a question this morning. Why did Jesus tell that story? You know the story. Why did Jesus tell it? He told the story because he wanted people not to give up. Don't give up. If people aren't listening, don't go all quiet. Don't go all quiet. Keep sowing seed. Don't fall into a pattern where one rejection, two rejections, three rejections means you fall into a pattern where you just shut up about Jesus with that person for the rest of your life. Because they weren't listening that time. I'm giving up. No. You keep sowing seed again. And again and again. Lots of it will just fall on deaf ears. But you don't give up. That's why he told the story. And your heart will break sometimes when you think, but this is so important. This is so beautiful. This is so important for you to hear. Your heart will break. You'll be deeply disappointed. But don't give up. You'll wonder if you're wasting your time. But Jesus says, you keep sowing seed. And as you do so, this is a very short sermon, but it's a really, I think, quite important one for some of us who've been Christians for a long time. And we can think of people, actually, if I'm honest, I have given up with that person. This sermon's for you. If you can think of anybody like that, who is in your life and you think, but they won't respond. I tried once, and they said, no thanks. Thanks, but no thanks. This is a sermon for you. You must not give up with that person. You must not give up with that person. That's what Jesus is saying to you today. And as you resolve not to give up with that person, I have two things to say to you. The first is this: as you resolve this morning not to give up with that person, you can have an esteem in your spirit that knows that you are resolved to be faithful in passing on the good news of Jesus. Ezekiel was warned, the people I'm sending you to are obstinate and stubborn. Maybe the person you're thinking of is obstinate and stubborn. Say to them, this is what the Lord says. Say it anyway, whether they listen or fail to listen, and they will know that a prophet has been with them. You may get 4 rejections, 5 rejections, 6 rejections in a row, but you'll also get a whisper from God saying, but you tried. But you were faithful. Well done. Paul in Romans said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, and therefore I know that God is not ashamed of me and will not be ashamed on the day when I stand before him, because I didn't give up. So you will have an esteem in your spirit as you resolve this morning to go back to that person who you were tempted to give up with. And secondly, know this, the seed that you sow may fall on hard ground, but later on, that ground might actually change slightly. It might rain. Something might happen that actually that seed later on actually does begin to come to life, does begin to germinate. Studies estimate that on average people have to hear the gospel and understand it 7 times on average before they actually think, gosh, maybe that's got something for me in there. I don't know whether those studies are right for the person that you're thinking of, but maybe you share the gospel with somebody and that was the first time they'd ever heard it. It sounded weird to them, but there's a little seed on the edge of their life. You've maybe opened the door just a little crack, but they're not ready at all to think about it for themselves properly. Or maybe you share the gospel and it's the 4th time they've heard the message of Jesus and of God's love. Maybe actually that means they're more than halfway there, but it needed you to actually be a link in that chain. Or maybe it's the 6th time. Maybe this is actually getting the person ready for the next time they hear it. And actually that person will say something or have some way of putting it which just comes at the right time and helps them to see the light and actually twig something for the first time. Your job is not to convert anybody. My job is not to convert anybody to Christianity. It's simply to be faithful in passing on the message. God does the converting. And we know from Jesus' own experience that it can be hardest of all in our own backyard, with our own family, our friends who know us best. Where did he get all this stuff? Where did she, you know, who does she think she is to be able to tell me about God? Our job isn't to convert people. It's not actually to be selective about the people we think, oh, that person might be interested, that person probably not. The sower went out to sow and he just scattered the seed any old where. He wasn't choosing, oh, that bit of ground looks like it's really good ground. The seed goes everywhere. We're not selective. The truth is this: no one ever responds to God's message until an ordinary Christian like you or me decides to get in the game and give people a chance to hear it for themselves. So this morning you and I need to weigh up the options. Imagine inviting your friend to a church service or to a children's holiday club or to a church fun event or to a pilgrim course. Imagine giving them something to read about God that you found helpful yourself. What's the worst thing that could happen? What's the worst case scenario that could happen if you were to do that? I think in our culture, the worst thing that could happen would probably, the person would turn around and say, thanks but no thanks. It's about as close to martyrdom as you're likely to get for being a witness to Jesus in our culture. Are you prepared to take that much suffering for him? Are you? A little bit of social embarrassment. That's the worst case scenario. What's the best case scenario? Oh my goodness. The best case scenario, the seed takes root. The person discovers life in all its fullness. The person discovers the source of life for themselves. That seed that you sowed may then actually be passed on by them to loads of other people. Jesus said there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than all these people in church this morning. That one person, their worship, their joy of discovering, we're worth more than all of our worship today. But it requires you and I to be faithful, to keep sowing seed. I'm going to finish with a light story. It starts off being light, but it comes back to the point slightly. It's about a monk called Brother John. Brother John had been at the same monastery for 20 years, and he got used to his job. His job was to clean the floors and do the washing up. And he helped out around the monastery, did a good job with it. But they had a new abbot who came along. And this new abbot had radical ideas that everybody should have a go at not just doing practical jobs, but actually preaching. Everybody should take a turn on the rotor and come and stand in the pulpit and preach a sermon. So, Brother John was terrified. He'd never done this before. And he hated standing up in front of other people. And he looked at the rotor when it came out. It was pinned on the monastery notice board. He went to it and he saw he was down to preach a sermon on Tuesday at 10:30. 10:30 in the morning. All Monday night, he was up all night thinking, what do I tell the brothers? What am I going to tell the brothers? He had a sleepless night worrying about it. What am I going to tell the brothers? It got to 10:30 and he came to the monastery chapel. And he was sitting in the congregation and thinking, what do I tell the brothers? And it got to the hymn before the sermon. He's still thinking, Lord, what can I tell the brothers? And eventually, it got to the point where they stopped singing the hymn before the sermon. And he got up into the pulpit. And he looked out at his brothers in the monastery and he said, brothers, do you know what I'm going to tell you about this morning? And there was a pause and they realized he was expecting them to answer. So they said, no. He said, well, neither do I. And he went back and sat down. Afterwards, the abbot beckoned Brother John into the vestry for a little chat, a little conversation. He said, Brother John, that was disgusting what you just did. It wasn't what I intended at all. And because you weren't obedient, you're on the rotor tomorrow morning at 10:30. This time, find something to tell the brothers. So Brother John went away. And he had another second sleepless night. Lord, what can I tell the brothers? What can I tell the brothers? And he got to the service and he still didn't know what on earth he was going to tell the brothers. He got to the hymn before the sermon and he got up into the pulpit and he looked out at his brothers and he said, brothers, do you know what I'm going to tell you about this morning? And they thought, well, we can't say no again because he'll just... So we say, yes. He said, well, in that case, I don't need to tell you. And he went back downstairs, but after the abbot beckoned him into the vestry, Brother John, I'm really disappointed. You thought you could get away with such a cheap gag second time. You're on the rotor again tomorrow morning, and this time have something to tell the brothers. So you probably can guess what happened next. Brother John had a third sleepless night. What do I tell the brothers? Lord, what can I tell the brothers? He got to the service and he was sitting there and it was the hymn before the sermon. Lord, what can I tell the brothers? And he got up in the pulpit the third time, third morning on the trot. And he said, he looked out at his brothers and he said, brothers, do you know what I'm going to tell you about this morning? And the brothers in the meantime had a little conversation amongst themselves. They said, look, this is getting ridiculous. If Brother John does that again, some of us say yes and some of us say no. So they did that. Some said yes, some said no. Brother John said, in that case, those who know tell those who don't. And after the service, the abbot beckoned him into the vestry and said, Brother John, that was a magnificent sermon. Because that's what it's about. Those of you who know, tell those of you who don't. And don't give up doing it. even if it's embarrassing, even if it's awkward. Keep sowing seed. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.